Thank you, Linda. As we come to think about and reflect on these readings and on the theme of Pentecost, let's pray. As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God does great stuff for everybody, and we're all to tell people about it. That, in a nutshell, is pretty much what I'm going to say this morning. So if you want to go and make a cup of tea or coffee, you've heard the headlines and the key thing, off you go. And if you do stay and listen and you remember nothing else, that is the key thing to take away this morning, the headline to remember. God does great stuff for everybody, and we're all to tell people about it. God does great stuff for everybody. And we're all to tell people about it. I wonder if you can imagine the scene. It's hot and dusty in Jerusalem. People have gathered here from all over the world for a huge religious ceremony and harvest festival. All over the world, all different tongues, all different smells, hot and dusty. We don't tend to go in for big religious festivals here in this country, but perhaps you've seen pictures of festivals or been to some of the big parades out in Spain or France. Or maybe it's like, I don't know, the German market in Birmingham or Telford, a religious festival kind of, but more of an excuse for people to get together, share a drink, take an opportunity to do some shopping in the big city. Hustle and bustle and loads of things going on. And then suddenly, this group of people burst out of one of the buildings, all speaking different languages. You don't know what they're all saying, but there's at least one you can understand. And she's going on about God. I wonder what your reaction would be. In Jerusalem on that day, some of the crowd recognised the preachers. They're all up north from Galilee. What are all these Scousers doing in Telford going on about God in Arabic, Chinese, English, Urdu and Xhosa? Where did they learn all these languages? What's going on? Are they drunk? I don't know how many times you've heard this story. We've heard it in two slightly different ways already this morning. This might be the first time that you've heard it. I've heard it many times. And one of the problems of having heard a story many, many times is it just gets repetitious. You've just heard it before. They lose the power to shock. We stop listening carefully. I wonder sometimes if we've tamed it, we've heard it so many times that something that should grab us by the throat and shock us and surprise us, it's just, oh yeah, well, that's the Pentecost story. That's what happened. Can you imagine it though? Can you imagine the surprise of that first Pentecost? It is astonishing. If this really happened in Telford or in Birmingham, we'd be gobsmacked. If the Spirit came like this to one of our services or prayer meetings, and we all went out into Wellington suddenly speaking different languages, it would be mind-blowing. This is a life-changing story. It was life-changing for those disciples, and it's intended to be life-changing for us today. So let's dive in and see what's here for us. You see, this account, written by Luke, the historian, at the beginning of the early church, it's his follow-up to his Gospel Luke, which is research into the life of Jesus. And now he's sharing his research and his accounts of the life of the early church. And it starts with Jesus' friends doing as they were told and waiting in Jerusalem, waiting for the Holy Spirit. Jesus had been crucified, he'd been raised from the dead, and he'd returned to heaven. But before he went, he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. And that's what they're doing. And then the Holy Spirit arrives. And what an arrival! A loud noise, like a wind, and flames of fire. And these images of the Holy Spirit, they occur throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, the word for spirit and breath is the same, ruach. God breathed into mankind to bring it to life in creation, and the wind of God's spirit brings life. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit as a wind that blows wherever it wills. You can't see it, but you can see what it does. And in this case, the Holy Spirit brought boldness and another very specific gift. The gift of being able to speak other languages that they hadn't learned by natural means. I suspect there are students who would have been sitting their GCSEs or A-levels around now in French and German and Spanish who would be really glad of that gift. But that's not what it was for. Later on, when Peter is talking to the crowd, he talks about other gifts that Joel had talked about, the gifts of prophecy and of dreams and of visions. And it strikes me that all the gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned in this passage in Acts have something in common. They're all about communication. They're about communication between God and people, or about making communication possible between people. And this communication is for a very specific purpose. It was given so that God's people could speak about God's deeds of power in a way that could be understood by those they were speaking to. This gift, it was given so that God's people could speak about God's deeds of power in a way that could be understood by the people they were speaking to. What kinds of deeds of power do you think they were talking about? Perhaps creation. Perhaps Jesus' miracles that they'd seen him do, his healings, the nature miracles, the calming of the storm, perhaps his death, perhaps his resurrection, that perhaps was the greatest miracle of all. But more than that, I suspect that there were own stories. Peter, the fisherman, called from his net and made a fisher of people. Mary, released from demonic possession. Martha, whose brother had been raised from the dead. Each of them telling their own personal experience of the powerful works of God. And why were they telling about these mighty acts of God? For this, we have to skip to the end of Peter's quote from the prophet Joel. So that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. These disciples were sharing these stories so that everyone who heard would have no doubt that God has done some great stuff. Stuff for the whole world and stuff for individuals. There's nothing going on in their lives that God can't handle and can't rescue them from. There's no thirst that God can't quench. There's no captivity that God can't free us from. There would be left in no doubt that there is a God who created them, who loves them, who forgives them, and who wants them to come home. This news is for everyone. That list of countries in that passage, it's not just there to make readers on Pentecost Sunday stumble a bit or feel a bit anxious. It's not there to be skipped over. It's there for a purpose. As Nog shared with us, represented in those nations are people from the north and the south, the east and the west, from Africa, Asia and Europe. Everyone. Just before he returned to heaven, Jesus said to his friends, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And then, when the Holy Spirit came, the first gift that was given was one that enabled Jesus' followers to be witnesses to everyone who was present in Jerusalem. And what were they witnesses of? The great stuff God had done for everybody. This theme of everybody is found in another place in this account. In Peter's sharing of the prophecy of Joel, we are told that the Spirit was to be poured out on all flesh. Now, I have taken part in services from home, and I do have to be honest, I'm sat there on my sofa. Unlike David, I don't always stand up for the songs. But if you are able and you are engaged, I would just like you perhaps to do something physical. I would do this as well, but if I stand up, you won't be able to see me anymore. So, here we go. If it's comfortable for you to do so, could you please stand up if all flesh applies to you? Great. Now, next, we're told that sons and daughters will prophesy. So, can you please sit down if you're a son? Excellent. And now, can you sit down if you're a daughter? Right. Excellent. Good. So, we should all now be sitting down now. Done a little bit of exercise, got the blood flowing. Now, young men are going to see visions. So, young men, can you stand up, please? And old men dream dreams. So, now guess what? Old men, you get to stand up now, please. Very good. Now, we haven't got any slaves here. But if you're in paid employment, can you stand? Good, good. Now, both men and women. And women, you've not had to decide whether you're young or old, but it is your turn to stand up. So, we should now all be standing again. Okay, you can all sit down again, those of you who did stand up and sit down. Thank you very much. Those of you who did it in your minds. You've got to get the point. This is for everybody. Everybody. We are all included. You are all included. For all of those of us who have responded to Jesus' invitation, who, like those people at Pentecost, have said sorry for things we've done wrong and said, "Yes, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I will follow you." The Holy Spirit is poured out on you. The question is, are you going to allow him to flow into your life and give you the gifts he brings? And these gifts are varied. They're listed in different places in the New Testament. We've explored some of them over the last couple of weeks. We've explored the fruit of the Spirit. But the thing is, all of these gifts, they all point towards God and God's saving power. And we are sent to be witnesses to the way that God has worked in the world and is working in our lives. As I said right at the beginning, the key takeout from this: God does great stuff for everybody, and we are all to tell people about it.